The 2018 season for the Adelaide Symphony Orchestra kicks off today with their first show on the 31st of August. Joining me to discuss the season and some highlights for the upcoming year is Managing Director Vince Ciccarello. Good morning, Vince.
Good morning, Ian, and listeners.
It looks like you've got a crazy season ahead. Can you tell us about it?
Oh, it seems every year's a crazy. Every season's a crazy season, Ian. There's a huge amount of planning that goes into putting together the ASO's annual program. As you will gather once you pick up a brochure or visit our website, that we'll present 51 concerts in 2018. We've got 16 international conductors from as far-flung places as Estonia and Norway and New Zealand, the UK, Russia, South Korea. We've got 52 soloists. We've got 86 South Australian artists featured throughout the season. So, it's a big operation.
That is. It's an extraordinary number of concerts.
Yeah, no, that's right. And I think the point to be made, Ian, is that your listeners may not be aware, you know, the ASO is a 52-week-a-year operation. You know, we're a full-time outfit, so, you know, we've got 75 musicians full-time, and so which is great because it means that we have the capacity to do a whole range of things, and which we'll be doing in 2018. I think certainly our flagship series is our Master Series, and which, as the name suggests, is the series in which we present the great works by the great composers, the classical composers throughout history. Those concerts take place in the Adelaide Town Hall. So there are 10 different programs, each repeated twice, so 20 concerts. We've got a really exciting start to the year in which we will perform the much-beloved organ symphony by Saint-Saëns. Now, we don't get the opportunity to use the town hall organ with the orchestra all that often, so certainly all of the organ lovers out there will be absolutely jumping for joy today when they hear that, because there's nothing quite like hearing the feeling the floor rumble of the town hall when the town hall organ gets going. So most people recognise that piece of music because it served as the basis for Nigel Westlake's score to the film Babe. So it's a very highly recognisable theme that's actually being used in lots of pop songs as well. So that's the way the season starts. The Master Series season ends with our principal conductor, Nicholas Carter, again. And he'll be conducting Beethoven's famous Ninth Symphony, the Choral Symphony, best known for the final movement, the Ode to Joy. So look, a big start and end to the season with in our Master Series. But we've got a whole bunch of music that doesn't conform strictly to the symphonic model. We're presenting a tribute show to the much-loved singer-songwriter George Michael. In February, two concerts with a cast that we will announce on the 1st of December. I'm actually champing it a bit to announce who they are because we've got some fantastic lineup. But I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag of just putting the finishing touches to that cast. But that should be really exciting. Then we're reprising a show that we presented in 2016 called All You Need Is Love with Let It Be Australia and the Adelaide Festival Centre. And it's really a walk through the entire catalogue of the Beatles' most famous songs. And with Jack Jones is headlining that cast. But we've also got Ray Thistlethwaite from Thirsty Merc singing. That'll be a fantastic thing. We sold out two shows, and we fully expect these to sell out as well.
I was just going to say, you'd have to get in quick for some of these shows because, I mean, that one, the last two particularly, I'm sure they'd sell out. And the Town Hall ones, I've only had the joy of hearing that organ once, and yes, the floor does indeed rumble. That's extraordinary, extraordinary.
Yeah, no, certainly. If I had a dollar for every time somebody in the audience asked me, when are we going to be performing a concert with the town hall organ, I'd be a very rich man. So we're going to finally satisfy the expectations of many of our listeners, of our audience. Yeah, we've also got a whole bunch of other activities in our showcase series, Ian. We're really thrilled that Kate Sobrano and living legend Doug Parkinson are going to be taking part in a show called The Studio, 54 Reasons to Party. And basically, it's a nod to the legendary New York nightclub Studio 54. And as the title might suggest, it's all of the great disco tunes from the 70s and 80s. You know, the Michael Jackson, the Bee Gees, Earth, Wind and Fire. Sister Sledge, the whole Box and Dice. And we're actually going to transform the very front part of the Festival Theatre into a dance floor. So if people are quick enough, they'll be able to buy what we are referring to as dance floor access seats. And it means they'll be able to, if they can't resist the urge to get up and dance more, they'll have the opportunity. So that's going to be quite a lot of fun as well.
And has the ongoing work at the Festival Theatre affected how you've scheduled shows?
Look, it has this year, Ian. Certainly, the back half of 2017 has been inconvenienced by those works. But look, we're fully expecting those works to be completed. Certainly in the Festival Theatre itself to be completed by the end of 2017. So, it's full steam ahead in 2018. Look, that's going to be a long term project. The whole Riverbank and Festival Plaza redevelopment. We understand that, and it's going to be a fantastic thing for the city and the state. So that's work that needs to be done, and we're thrilled that it's happening. But in terms of the immediate inconvenience, look, that we expect that to be short-lived. It should be over by the end of 2017. As for next year, people will, it is true, they will continue to find it inconvenienced, in that they will need to park a little bit further away than they might otherwise. And they'll have to walk a little way to the theatre. But otherwise, as I said, it's full steam ahead, and we've got a really full program in the Festival Theatre next year, as well as in the Adelaide Town Hall.
Well, you certainly have a reputation for bringing, orchestral music into the contemporary world with your varied shows. I imagine that's why you have so many international performers who, come all the way over here to Australia to actually play with the orchestra.
Yeah, no, that's very true. I think it's fair to say that, the reason that any orchestra, symphony orchestra, exists is first and foremost its core business. In other words, is the orchestral repertoire of the 19th century. I mean, that's just a fact. I mean, because if it weren't for that, you wouldn't have a symphony orchestra in its current form. But we're fortunate that thanks to the generosity of our funding partners, both federally and at state level, through the Australia Council and throughout South Australia, and also through our many, many donors, our huge array of sponsors, and of course people who are prepared to stump up and buy tickets. It means that we're a 52-week-a-year operation. It means we can actually present a wide range of music and music in all sorts of genres, and present the orchestra as a great sort of institution, as a great highly skilled musical outfit that of course yes plays the mainstay classical symphonic works, but also presents the orchestral music as they appear in soundtracks, for example. So next year we're really thrilled that we'll have the opportunity to present the second installment in the Harry Potter series, then we'll cap off the year with Star Wars: A New Hope. So both of those scores by the wonderful American composer John Williams, and so it's it's where the journey began for the Star Wars fans. They'll know all about that. It's the fourth movie in the sequence, but it's where the story begins. So so you're absolutely right. We've got a wide, very diverse program spanning, yes, the core classical orchestral repertoire, but going right through to not only movie music and disco music and pop music, but in fact, it'd be remiss of me not to also mention a couple of really fantastic local performers who we're showcasing next year as well. So we've got a series that will be in its third year next year called Gigs at Granger. And the first one in February will feature Mark Ferguson, who's acclaimed local jazz pianist and composer, much loved in the community, and he'll be bringing his unique brand of Latin jazz to the ASO. So he's long Thong being the representative of Latin jazz in South Australia, and so we're really looking forward to his new arrangements with the orchestra. And then also we're welcoming back Adam Page, who I'm pretty sure your listeners will all know, who's going to curate an entire program dedicated to music of New Zealand, actually, where he spent quite a bit of time working and also being inspired by the landscape and the environment there. And he's written a whole bunch of music that we're going to perform. And also he's going to give the South Australian premiere of a piece called Omni Phoenix, which is a concerto for saxophone and jazz drum kit, actually, by a New Zealand composer that was written for the late saxophonist Michael Brecker. So, yes, it's true, we have artists, conductors, soloists from all around the world, but we also like to celebrate our own, because we've got some wonderful talent here in South Australia and Australia more generally.
Well, Adam Page is going to be here in our studio next week sometime, so I'll ask him about his upcoming performance.
Please do.
It must be fairly competitive to get into the ASO, I'm sure, so people must be wary about taking a holiday just in case, they come back and there's someone else taking their seat.
Yeah, look, fortunately there's greater security than that, Ian, but you're absolutely right. It is a highly competitive business to be in, and it has to be said that there actually is very, very low levels of turnover in the orchestral personnel. So those jobs are very, very much coveted, and the way that people apply for them is, if a vacancy does appear, people need to go through an application process or an audition process, which takes place almost entirely behind screens. So it's entirely anonymous, and it's entirely merit based, and it's just the fairest way of ensuring that you're picking on merit. And in fact, as a result of that, internationally our orchestras are actually appointed to as a way of enforcing or imposing conditions on recruitment processes to ensure, for example, gender parity. So if you look at the orchestra, you'll see that the orchestra itself is actually, I can't tell you the statistic off the top of my head, but it'd be pretty close to 50-50 gender split, male and female. And we contribute much of that to the anonymous recruitment process.
Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you this morning. Best of luck with the program. It's, as you said, it's absolutely full. And until the 31st of August as well, you've got the Sala exhibition down there.
That's right.
Granger Studios, yeah.
Yeah, you're right. We'd encourage people to come into the Granger Studios. We're at 91 Harnley Street, and certainly in the foyer areas, you'll find the works of three artists on display. More than three artists. There are three sort of exhibitions on display there, featuring the work of eight artists in total. It's really well worth seeing.
Well, thanks so much.
Thanks, Ian.
That was Managing Director of the Adelaide Symphony Orchestra, Vince Ciccarello, and he was talking to us there about the 2018 season that kicks off today.